Sunday school kids sing during the gradual time, and so instead of a gradual, we'll have them sing. Otherwise, everything is fairly close to normal as we go through our worship service this morning. Before we begin our service, though, let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us all that we need to support our bodies and lives. You give us clothing, shoes, food, drink, house, home, wife, children, land, animals, and all that we have. You richly and daily provide us with so many great blessings, Lord. Grant us hearts that are thankful for all your care and your mercy, and most importantly, that look forward to your greatest gifts, your Son, Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died to forgive us all of our sin and grant us eternal life. Grant us faith in him all the days of our life. In your holy, precious name we pray. Amen. We begin our service then with our opening hymn, hymn number 434, Lamb of God, Pure and Holy. Divine Service Setting 3, page 184. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your principal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death,
upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This time we turn to the introit as it is listed in our bulletin insert. You'll notice that we have no Gloria Patri as we begin Passion Tide.
Us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 9. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. The Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and all of the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. And if I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid them himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess now our one faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, number 438, A Lamb Goes Uncomplained For, 438. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to these words once again. God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. What a great confession of faith that Abraham has here today. Faith in a promise that through his son Isaac, God will do as he said he would and make him into a mighty nation through whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed. How foolish is it for us to think that we can believe in a word of promise? The world, the devil, and even our own sinful nature are great at convincing us by what we see and hear and experience daily that we can't believe a word of promise. Too often, men make promises that they never keep. And because we cannot believe the promises we make to one another, how can we believe in the promises God has made to us? Think for a second, if you would. You are going out to buy a new house, and your realtor takes you all around until he finally finds the one that you want to live in and establish roots in and build a family with. And he says, great. Now go to the bank and secure a mortgage, and I will make this home yours. But what if you were to say, oh, don't worry about that bank stuff. I don't need to go there for that. I promise I will pay back every penny owed. The realtor would laugh in your face. He would take you to be a foolish person and probably leave you in the dust and go find someone more worth his time. We have elections coming up this next week, don't we? And when someone is running for an office, the candidate makes many great promises. They're going to lower taxes. They're going to build better infrastructure and improve our roads. Maybe they're even going to make better health coverage and employment opportunities for you. And for a while, we can be tempted to listen to these words with excitement and rejoice about the promises that they're making to us. But we've lived long enough to realize that many of these great things that they are talking about probably won't happen. They're going to get into office and they're going to find that they are unable to keep their promises that they made for those who voted for them. It is hard for us to truly believe a word of promise. And because our daily experiences and all of our senses tell us that we can't believe the promises of men, we're also tempted to think we can't believe in the promises of God. Promises such as what Jesus makes in Mark 16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But when we witness a baptism, we don't see anything miraculous happen. The only thing that might happen is the baby wakes up and begins to cry when cold water is poured over its head. Or the promise Jesus makes to us in Matthew chapter 28. Behold, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And yet, when we have close loved ones or maybe even a spouse die, and we go to the funeral and then come back home to an empty nest with no one around, we can't help but feel lonely and lost, with no one there to comfort us or to turn to for hope. What about Jesus' word that he makes to us in Matthew 26 and elsewhere? Take and eat, take and drink. This is my body, this is my blood given and shed for you, for your forgiveness. And yet, when we come and kneel down at the rail, our senses deceive us. We see, feel, smell, and taste only bread and wine. How can this word be true? God knows it's hard for us to believe a word of promise. And that's why he comes to us repeatedly, over and over again through his word, to continually strengthen us in our weak faith, in order to continually point out how he has kept his promises to us. For God is always faithful, and he will and does provide for us to keep his promises that he has made. And he has fulfilled this through his Son, Jesus Christ. God knows how weak we poor miserable sinners are to believe in a promise. Believe it or not, so was Abraham. When we go back in Genesis, 10 chapters before this, to Genesis chapter 12, we hear of how God plucks up Abraham and tells him, I'm going to move you far away from your homeland, hundreds of miles away to the land of Cana. In that land, I will give to you and your descendants as an inheritance forever. I will be your God, and I will make you into a mighty nation. Abraham believes this word of promise. And because of that, he picks up everything he owns. And when he is 75 years old, he goes to live in a land that he's never even been to before. But as time goes on, as years start to pass, Abraham realizes he has a problem. He doesn't have any children, not one single child to carry on his name. And so he laments, God, you promised to me that you would make me into a mighty nation through whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed, and yet I have no child. I have no one to take this inheritance from me. I'm going to have to give it to a servant within my own household. And so in Genesis 15, God comes to Abraham again to remind him of his promise and says, no, your very own son shall be your heir. Again, Abraham clings to this word of promise and believes in it, and continues to sojourn in the land of Cana. And again, years pass on, even decades, and still the promised child has not come. And so Abraham begins to wonder, maybe Sarah, my wife, the one who has been barren for all these years, is not the one through whom this promised child shall come. Maybe I should take her word of advice and marry my slave servant here and procure a child through her. So again, in Genesis chapter 17, God comes to Abraham and says, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear a son for you. And it makes Abraham and Sarah laugh because they're already old and well advanced in years. And God says, because you laughed, you shall name him Isaac, which means laughter. And I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. And so Abraham clings again to this word of promise and believes. And lo and behold, within the year, Sarah conceives and bears a son, and they name his name Isaac. God's word has been fulfilled. He has kept his promise. Isaac has come. And now that gets us to where we are today from Genesis chapter 22. Now God comes to Abraham to test this faith. Faith which God has worked in him by bringing his word to him time after time after time. To test him and see, will he fear, love, and trust in me? To keep my word of promise that I've made to him, that through his son Isaac, I will establish a covenant with him forever? Or will he conceal his son from me? Will he fear, love, and trust in Isaac in order to make him into a mighty nation and cast me aside? Isaac gives his father an awesome opportunity to confess his faith. Faith which God has made in him through his word. When Isaac comes and says, Father, behold the fire and the wood, But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? To which Abraham confesses, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. God knows how weak we are to believe in a word of promise. And so he comes time after time after time to show us that his word never falls short. He keeps his promises that come out of his mouth. And he has done that for us here today as well. He has kept this promise that he made to Abraham, that through him and his seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He has done this by sending his son, Jesus Christ, who fulfills this scripture completely for us and for our salvation. Isaac, on his way up the mountain, asked but one question of his father. I see the fire, I see the wood, but where's the lamb? To which Abraham encourages him, comforts him, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And so they continue on together up the mountain. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, asked but one question of his father. Father, if it be your will, remove this cup from me. But not my will, but yours be done. And he continues his journey to the cross. Abraham, when they get to the foot of the mountain, takes the wood for the offering off the donkey and lays it upon the shoulders of his son. The wood which would go on top of the altar, to which Isaac would be burnt upon. And Isaac carries it up the mountain. Jesus Christ had the wood of his altar, the cross, laid upon his shoulders to carry it up to Golgotha's mount, to be nailed to it hand and foot for you and for me. Isaac, being at this time maybe 15 or 20 years old, making Abraham at this time between 115 and 120 years old, is willingly bound by his father, not resisting, not running away and fleeing, but willingly bound and laid upon the altar of his sacrifice. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, was willingly bound like a criminal to be led away, to be sentenced to death. St. Peter would have prevented it, saying, Lord, should we draw the sword? Jesus says, I could command 12 legions of angels to come and rescue me. But then how should the scriptures be fulfilled? And so he goes willingly to be sentenced to death, even death upon a cross. Isaac is laying upon the altar on top of the wood. He sees his father Abraham reach out his hand and take the butcher knife, ready to come upon his throat to slaughter him. When the angel of the Lord cries out from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, don't do anything to him or raise your hand against him. And he lifts up his eyes and behold, a ram caught in the thicket, a ram which was substituted for Isaac. Our Lord Jesus Christ, lying nailed and stripped naked upon his cross, is not spared. But God slaughters him, the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Being the greater Isaac, being the greater ram who is supplemented for us so that we don't have to pay the consequence that our sin deserves, so that we don't have to die that death. Jesus sheds his holy and precious blood for you. Jesus dies and rises again, so that you might know that this portion of Scripture and all the others that were written about Jesus have been fulfilled. God did not spare his only begotten Son, but gave him up for the life of the world, so that you might have life and have it abundantly. God knows how hard it is for us to believe this word of promise, that the scriptures truly have been fulfilled, that your sins truly are forgiven, that Jesus is truly with you wherever you go. And so to remind you of this, time after time after time, God gathers you together here in this holy place to hear repeatedly his word of promise spoken into your ears, to hear time and time again how Jesus has paid the consequence for your sin by dying and by rising again to new life, and now gives that forgiveness to you through word and through sacrament. That's why God gathers us together here each and every Sunday to celebrate again a mini Easter, where we hear the promises of God fulfilled. The Lamb has been slaughtered, and he has risen again, and now gives to you forgiveness, life, and eternal salvation. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We stand now and continue with the offertory, page 192.
With us this morning, especially those listening on the radio or on the internet. We're glad to have you here with us. This time there is a pad at the end of each pew. We'll practice what we call the right to fellowship. If you'll put down your contact information there, we'd appreciate that. That helps us to know who's here, especially visitors. That gives us an opportunity to connect with you and interact as well. This time we'll also collect our gifts and our offerings. Thank you. This time we continue with the prayer of the church. If you'll please stand for our prayers this Passion Tide, we'll begin by praying the litany on page 288 in your hymnal, page 288. In addition to those prayer requests listed in our news and notes, we have one additional prayer request, and that's for Callie, daughter of Kim Bach, who is dealing with some health issues. We'll pray together litany, page 288. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment,
help us, Lord.
We poor sinners implore you to rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, and to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, Lord.
To raise those who fall, and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, Lord.
To give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, especially those in our own midst, including Janet, Jared, Lois, Ken, Susie, Tish, Scott, Sharon, Joe, Carol, Callie, Bob, Celeste, Linda, Ed, Norma, Sheldon, Todd, Dan, Jane, Alan, Cindy, Kim, Barb, Rachel, Joe, Wayne, Joan, Karen, Bud, Lori, Bentley, and all others whom we name in our hearts. To protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all. To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
Amen.
This time we continue with the service of the sacrament on page 194 in your hymnal, page 194.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Please stand as we sing.
Unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
May be seated for our closing hymn, hymn 422. On my heart, imprint your image. To have you all here with us this morning. Just a few announcements to bring to your attention. First off, we do have Bible study in the parish hall, the room back here. We'll be looking at the book of Romans chapter 3, and so we invite you for that. And by the way, kids, if you want to go get your goodies as well, we'll have our Sunday school opening right back here in just a couple minutes as well. So that'll be happening also. This week, we do have Wednesday church. at 4 o'clock and at 6:30. And so we invite you for that opportunity as well. Thursday, we have Lifelight Bible Study also. So those events going on this week. I think there's a couple other announcements to take a look at in your bulletin insert, the news and notes. If you want to take a look in the back, there's a sign-up sheet for Easter Lilies. Easter's right around the corner. And I think in your bulletin also there's starting to be some information about all of the worship opportunities coming up at Holy Week. And so take a look at those as well. Otherwise, I don't think we have a lot of announcements. Vicar, what am I forgetting? Pastor Poppy's not here, in case you didn't notice. His son, Clint Jr., got married yesterday in Omaha, and so the family's there celebrating, so we wish them well as well. Any other announcements then that I have forgotten? If not, God's blessings on your week.